In Jesus' name, we will continue the services. And I shall read for the topic of the sermon from Jeremiah's 31st chapter, from verse 31 to verse 35. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their inward parts, and in their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Thus saith the Lord, who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stirreth up the sea, so that the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, when I received the request to come to this service, the first sigh that came to my mind was, oh no, what would I have to say to such a large group of children of God? Even though the number of people should not matter, but that's how it tends to be. So then, in these thoughts, it came to my mind. That why couldn't you talk about the faith of one's heart? For that is the most important thing here. Everybody talks about this, and should talk about it, and the Bible is full of text about that. And then this portion of God's word in Jeremiah came to my mind, where it is said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So in this text that was read, he is foretelling such a thing, that I will give my law into their hearts. And when Jeremiah speaks of a covenant here, this covenant in which they lived at the time, and even Jeremiah did, he lived roughly 600 years before the Christ, before the birth of Christ. And Jeremiah was one of those prophets in the time of forced when the people of Israel were forced to be gone from their own land. And Jeremiah and Isaiah, the books of these two prophets and what they experienced and what they spoke, taught, and preached It has always touched me. And why is that? Because I believe that that is because here God speaks through a prophet. As we heard in the last verse, thus saith the Lord who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stirreth up the sea so that the waves thereof roar. So the God who has created everything, and he had said that this what he says will become true, that he said that this prediction or this prognostication would become true, and we know that it did become true. The way it became true was concealed from human understanding, and even to this day people cannot understand it through their carnal minds, that why did not God, who is almighty and all-knowing, and everything is possible for him, why did he send these lacking prophets as messengers of his word, who were weak from their own side and lacking? But God has always worked in this way, that he has worked through lacking people. Even at this moment, this is what is happening. There are no heavenly angels here preaching to people. But very ordinary looking people who cannot be distinguished from the people of this time or this world. So the prophets of the time of Babel, they predicted the future. And in the next verse, we can read what this new covenant was supposed to be. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So Jeremiah refers to matters that took place centuries before, at the time when the people of Israel were released from slavery in Egypt towards the promised land, on this journey that took decades. And of this time in Egypt, there's a long history behind it. It started from patriarch Jacob. And from the story of Jacob having 12 sons, and one of the sons, Joseph, was sold by his brothers, for the brothers envied him. So he was sold into slavery. But in a miraculous way, God protected this young Joseph in faith. So he was able to retain, through grace of God, a good conscience. So he kept faith and good conscience. And so God blessed Joseph. And through many phases, he was promoted to be a number two man in Egypt. He had such skills and abilities that Egypt and Jacob's family were saved from starvation. So, because he predicted seven good years and then seven bad years following those, and he told the Pharaoh to store wheat and food at a good time so that it would be available when the drought came. And in this way, God blessed Egypt and also the family of Jacob and the house of Jacob through Joseph. But when centuries rolled past, and there came a time when the Pharaoh knew nothing of Joseph, times changed, and the people of Israel were persecuted because the Pharaoh feared that if there's a war, then the people of Israel will turn against Egypt. But on the other hand, they couldn't do anything about the fact that those people in the position of slavery gave such a significant financial contribution to the kingdom of Egypt that they could not just let them go. However, that is what happened in the end. And he freed the people of Israel, and he made a covenant with Israel. And as a part of this covenant, God gave this advice to sacrifice a flawless lamb and to slaughter it and eat it in one room. And the door frames had to be painted with the blood of this animal. And wherever this had not happened, an angel of death would walk and slay the firstborns of each family and the firstborn of the cattle of the house. And this tribulation was such that it made the Egyptians to drive the people of Israel out of their land. And on this journey in the wilderness, which was geared for the people of Israel to reach the promised land, during this journey, God gave them the law, the Ten Commandments, and also gave the sacrificial worship and the house of worship, or the hut of worship. And the description of what this worship was supposed to look like is very detailed, and what this hut had to look like as well. It had to be built exactly according to certain instructions. But when they eventually reached the promised land, it happened as it's happened before, that not all could obey the law given by God. So there were people who did understand and who followed the law, as we can see from the first psalm, how it was told what a righteous person is like. A righteous person is like a tree planted by a brook. And this person loves the law of the Lord days and nights? How can one love the law of the Lord night and day? As a young person, I paused here many times thinking, that how is it possible? If we start to read the catechism at night and start to study the Ten Commandments at night, I easily get very tired and fall asleep. But I'm understanding it in this way, that the thought behind this is deeper. That the psalm writer has a deeper thought here. I believe that he had this law in his heart, so he knew what it's all about. He loved it. Well, is this true for us here today? Do we love the law of the Lord here? When we feel resentment and bad words come out of our mouth, we have two portions. So we have these weaknesses. And since we live with these two portions, the Spirit of the Lord lives within us in the new portion. So, but when bad things happen, the Holy Spirit in our new portion becomes sad, and we feel that we did wrong. And is it not so that we have this Jacob's wrestle within us, and it may take some time, a longer time even, that our heart and our mind is humbled to take care of matters, and when we can then enter onto steps of repentance, and when sins are preached forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Isn't it so that it happens that by humbling ourselves and through the merit work of Christ, we love the law of the Lord? This is an everyday matter. This is no theory. This is an everyday matter, in a way, even today in our lives. There, in Babylon, or Babel, in the imprisonment, Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted this upcoming Messiah and the Redeemer of Israel. And they foretold what was going to happen. And as we studied here, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this new covenant was such that as I mentioned earlier, God will put his law in their hearts. How did this truthfully then happen? We have to marvel at this and think that the pathways of God are different from ours, and God's thoughts are different than our human thoughts. When Isaiah says in his 55th chapter how the people of Israel have given up. And it speaks of the ungodliness there. At the same time, the speech of these prophets have the word of comfort and the word of grace. So it was with Isaiah. And he said as follows. That an ungodly person should reject his ways and turn to the Lord. For there is plenty of forgiveness with the Lord. So the will of the Lord is such that he wants to forgive the bad deeds of all people. So that is the great love of God underlying this. So God does not blame, but he wants to forgive. And now, the way in which God carried this out was surprising. So that when the time was fulfilled, as we can read in the Word of God, God sent his Son to this world, did not send a spirit creature, angel, did not send military force, but he sent his Son to be born as a child into this time, just like each one of us has been born into this time. And even in this way, that where was he born? Into a manger, in an inn. And who were the witnesses? They were the shepherds, who were not worthy at that time, who were not worthy to be witnesses in temporal courts. So this is what the thought of God is like. It is certainly different than our thoughts. Through Isaiah, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so far is my thought from your thoughts. So this is how God's thoughts are, who don't fit our understanding. So people with their temporal eyes could not see anything special in Jesus. They could not see anything divine in him. We remember. How on this Maundy Thursday, before Good Friday, when Jesus called his disciples to have the Last Supper, and during that, Jesus said the following words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, that shall be given on behalf of many." So that was a new covenant in his blood. So Lord Jesus gave this assurance that that was that new covenant in his blood. And he refers to Prophet Jeremiah and to the prediction of Prophet Jeremiah where he spoke of this new covenant, and now it had happened. Did the world see this? Did the spiritual Israel see what was happening the next day? They concentrated to this worship of Easter time, where they sacrificed this animal, this lamb, as was the tradition every year, without seeing and without knowing that God had prepared, or God was beginning to sacrifice His own Son, the true Easter lamb. People couldn't see this. It happened on Easter when the people of Israel received this task to sacrifice this Easter sacrifice. So in this way, sacrifice of Easter time, when it was done, when the Jews celebrated their Easter, at the same time Lord Jesus suffered on the cross and died. Through the book of Isaiah, we can see the prediction, where Isaiah was almost as if he was watching through the eyes of his spirit, as if he would have seen this death on the cross. And, Jesus gave His life. Now His blood flowed, and the thought of God was fulfilled here. How He had planned this salvation work for the entire mankind. In another part of this verse, Jeremiah said, "I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it." How did it happen, this giving of the law into our hearts and into our minds? There's no other way to do this but through the death of Jesus and through believing in this act of Jesus, this only perfect act. That is the only way to fulfill the law. As we have heard previously through brothers, fulfilling the law it will never be possible through our own work. And God demands complete fulfillment of the law. Otherwise, there's no entry to eternal life. But the matter is so now, that Lord Jesus has once done this perfect work of reconciliation. And only through faith in Jesus, can we fulfill the law. Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians, in Him you shall be perfect. This is much said, and I wouldn't dare to say it unless it was written in the Word of God. But this is according to the Word of God. So the law in our hearts, God has given His law into our hearts. And if we think of this, that how, or what kind of examples we can find in the Bible, we have of the law coming into our hearts. Let's think of Zechariah. He went up to a tree, and he was so short, but Jesus saw him and said, "Come down quickly. I have to be in your house today. And righteousness has come to your house today." So Lord Jesus saw into his heart, and he received the grace of repentance and understood faith. So this law came into his heart immediately, so that he had this will of his heart to compensate the people that he had violated. When it was said I guess this is during the time of the spiritual awakening in Lapland, the thieves who had robbed reindeer confessed to one another there. Many people who had evaded tax or customs payments, they came to second thoughts and they returned to the Swedish crown the funds that they had kept. So there even a problem came that what should be done to the funds that the crown received after this awakening had happened. So such is this time, or the effect of God's law entering a person's heart. But we have two portions. Within ourselves, we feel another law that rebels against God's law. Therefore, we have to continuously battle with this matter. Sin always clings to us, makes our journey slow. Therefore, at this very moment, sister and brother, in toil and in this kingdom, you can uplift your heart to believe. All sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. In this way, there are these strong promises from God towards us. Even though from our own side, we are not worthy of this grace and this gift that God has prepared for us. But these good promises are there. Believe still, all sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. In this way, we can be secured and blessed. All sins can be forgiven, believed forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. We will join in the end in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you who have created the earth and heaven. Tonight we thank you for all of your grace and your gifts, and for these days that you have given unto us here in Puri, where we've been able to enjoy your gifts. You have given beautiful days, beautiful weather, and you have blessed our services in many ways. This is your sheer grace, and we have such a prayer that the spoken word could carry that fruit that you have sent it to carry. So in the end, we will join in the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.